Okay, so imagine showing up to an escape room with your friends. You walk in and you're, ready for some standard puzzles, maybe a padlock or two.
Right, just a typical Tuesday night thing.
Yeah, exactly. But the creators have gone to such extreme lengths that within like 5 minutes, you completely forget it's a game.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the locked doors feel undeniably heavy, like permanent. The countdown clock triggers this very real, very visceral panic. Your heart rate spikes, your palms are sweating.
Because your brain just completely abandons the logical knowledge that you paid 20 bucks for this fabricated experience.
Exactly. Your body is screaming that you were actually trapped. Now, I want you to take that exact scenario, but elevate the stakes to literally life and death and put yourself in the captain's seat of a commercial airliner.
Which is, I mean, it's a profound shift in human psychology and preparedness. When the brain truly believes the stakes are real, it processes information entirely differently.
Right.
The entire physiological response changes, the adrenaline, the focus, all of it.
So we have a massive stack of sources on the table for our deep dive today. We're pulling from an industry proposal, and this is a mouthful. It's titled Advanced Realism Flight Simulation, Enhanced Pilot Preparedness Through Blended Training Environments.
Quite the title.
Right. Along with some highly technical simulator schematics and psychological data logs. And our mission today is to unpack how the aviation industry is planning to completely trick pilots' brains.
Yeah, they are intentionally blurring the line between reality and simulation to ensure ultimate safety in the skies.
And the tagline of this main proposal is just incredibly intense. It says, "Bridging the gap between the simulator and the sky to ensure the first time isn't the last time."
I mean, we are talking about high-stakes cognitive survival here. For decades, flight simulators have been these, incredibly impressive multi-million-dollar machines sitting on hydraulic legs in massive warehouses.
They move, they shake, they look pretty realistic.
They do. But the psychological barrier has always remained intact. The pilot consciously knows they are in an industrial park in Atlanta or Dallas.
Right. They know that if they make a catastrophic mistake during the simulation, the absolutely worst outcome is, well, a bruised ego, a stern talking to from an instructor, and a press of the reset button.
Exactly. And the proposal we are looking at today aims to completely obliterate that psychological safety net.
So let's unpack the mechanics of how they actually plan to pull off that deception. Because it sounds like a massive logistical hurdle. I mean, you can't just put a blindfold on a commercial pilot, spin them around, and shove them into a seat.
No, you definitely can't. The proposal outlines something called the physical boarding illusion.
A physical boarding illusion.
Yeah,
Okay.
yeah. The deception has to begin long before anyone touches a flight yoke. According to these schematics, pilots no longer walk across a concrete factory floor and climb a metal staircase to get into a simulator box.
Wait, so how do they get in?
Instead, the facility is designed so that they walk down a standard gangway, exactly the kind of enclosed, slightly sloping jet bridge you walk down when boarding a regular commercial flight.
Okay, and as they walk down this gangway, the schematics show these visual obstructions and heavy curtains strategically placed.
Right, because the pilot cannot see what they are walking into. They literally do not know if the cockpit at the end of that gangway is attached to a real, fully operational fuselage sitting out on an active tarmac.
Or if it is just a simulator module bolted to the floor of a training facility.
Exactly. And the controls, the switches, the instruments, the documents explicitly state they offer identical tactile feedback. The heavy click of the battery switch feels exactly the same in both environments.
Okay, I have to push back on this though, because, I mean, a pilot wakes up in their own bed, puts on their uniform, gets in their car, and drives to a known training facility for a scheduled check ride.
Sure.
Consciously, they know they are not scheduled to fly 200 passengers to Chicago that day. So doesn't the human brain eventually just default to assuming it is a simulation, regardless of the gameway trick?
That's a great point. Consciously, yes, the pilot knows they drove to a training center. But human physiology and our lower-level cognitive processes, the parts of the brain responsible for adrenaline and stress responses, are deeply, intrinsically tied to immediate environmental feedback.
So the body overrides the logical brain.
Pretty much. When a pilot sits in that seat, the physical weight of the flight controls is perfect. The resistance of the rudder pedals is mathematically exact to the real aircraft. Even the smell of the conditioned air is the same.
Wow, even the smell.
Yeah. The primitive brain prioritizes that immediate, overwhelming sensory input over the logical memory of driving to the facility. Furthermore, Because this blended training environment allows for the module to potentially be a real, live aircraft powered up on the tarmac, there's always this permanent percentage of doubt.
So it's that 1% doubt that acts as the hook. The pilot has to operate under the assumption that it is real.
Exactly. Because if it is a real plane and they treat it like a casual video game, the consequences are catastrophic. The baseline adrenaline fundamentally shifts.
The brain doesn't have the luxury of downshifting into training mode.
Right. But that physical boarding illusion is incredibly fragile. It only gets the pilot into the seat with the right mindset.
Yeah, because the second they look out the window, if they see, like, 1990s era polygonal graphics, the whole illusion shatters instantly.
Absolutely. It would break in a second.
So how do they solve the visual problem so the deception holds up under the scrutiny of a highly trained professional?
Well, the transition from the physical illusion to the total sensory illusion is where the processing power of these new systems just becomes staggering.
How so?
We are talking about visual fidelity that replicates the exact macro and micro environments of real airports. If the scenario places them at JFK, the taxiways, the specific cracks in the concrete, the gate numbers, the runway layouts, it is a one-to-one digital twin.
I noticed in the technical breakdown, they place a massive emphasis on surrounding traffic and ground crew. But it's not just about making it look busy, right?
No, not at all. The system completely randomizes the movements of baggage carts, fuel trucks, and other aircraft taxiing around them.
Okay, why is the randomization so critical?
Because human beings are exceptional pattern recognition machines. If a pilot runs a simulation multiple times, or even just observes the environment for 10 minutes, and always sees a specific baggage cart cross from the left side of the terminal at the exact same moment,
their brain just flags it.
Yes. The brain immediately tags that visual as scripted. It categorizes it as background noise that can be safely ignored.
So by mathematically randomizing these elements, the system is actively destroying pattern recognition.
Exactly. It forces the pilot to maintain active situational awareness. They must genuinely look out the window, assess the speed of that fuel truck, and react to the ground environment every single time. They literally cannot predict it.
And the environment isn't just visually unpredictable. The weather simulation is violently realistic. The schematics detail the integration of dynamic weather conditions, crosswinds, severe turbulence, and specifically microbursts.
Oh, yeah. Microbursts.
I've heard the term microburst before, but why is that particular weather event considered such a nightmare for cognitive overload?
Well, a microburst is basically a severe, localized column of rapidly sinking air that hits the ground and spreads out violently in all directions. From a cognitive and physics standpoint, it is a brilliant trap.
A trap? How does it trap them?
Imagine you are a pilot on final approach to the runway. Suddenly, you fly into the front edge of the microburst, which hits your plane as a massive headwind. That headwind instantly increases your lift.
Okay, so the plane pitches up and you feel like you are climbing too high above your glide path.
Right, and your natural instinct, and honestly, your foundational training, tells you to reduce engine power and push the nose down to get back on track.
Okay, that makes sense. You adjust to the environment.
But seconds later, you fly right through the center of the column and hit the back edge of the microburst. Now, that massive headwind instantly turns into a massive tailwind. Yeah, you have already reduced your engine power, you have already pointed the nose of the plane down, and suddenly the wind direction shifts and robs your wings of all their lift. The plane literally drops out of the sky.
Wow. So the physical environment basically baits the pilot into making the exact wrong adjustment for what is coming 3 seconds later.
Exactly. Handling it requires an unnatural override of instinct.
That is terrifying. You are fighting the plane and your own instincts simultaneously. And while you are fighting that weather, the audio environment is actively messing with you too, right?
Oh, absolutely. The air traffic control communications use varying voices, different regional accents, and radio static. It incorporates real-time interactions with other pilots who are participating in the training from different simulator bays.
So you are trying to decipher a thick accent over a crackly radio frequency while another pilot steps on your transmission.
It creates a living, breathing airspace. You are never allowed to feel like the only moving part in a static, predictable world. But there is another layer to the visual immersion that is incredibly subtle, yet fundamentally alters spatial processing.
You're talking about the directional lighting, aren't you?
Yes, the directional lighting.
The technical specs outline these directional lights embedded within the visual display system that emulate the sun's actual mathematical position in the sky.
Right.
They've physically cast dynamic shadows across the pilot's face and across the physical instrument panels inside the cockpit. That's just wild to me.
It is, because our brains heavily rely on shadows and the angle of light to subconsciously orient ourselves in time and space. It's tied directly to our circadian rhythms and spatial awareness.
So if you are flying a simulated early morning departure and the visual out the window shows a sunrise, but the ambient lighting inside the physical cockpit feels flat and uniform,
your inner ear and your eyes disagree. The brain detects the mismatch and the immersion breaks.
It's almost like studying for a crucial exam, but the teacher randomly changes the lighting, drops the temperature, and plays a track of people arguing in different accents in the background.
That's a great analogy.
Well,
by actively casting a harsh, moving shadow across the throttle quadrant, mimicking the sun peeking through the window during a banking turn, you are hacking the pilot's deepest temporal processing centers. The passage of time feels real.
Exactly the point. Because the sensory illusion is completely flawless, the pilot becomes temporally, physically, and visually locked into the environment. Their brain accepts the simulated reality as the absolute truth.
And because they are completely fooled, their brain is now entirely vulnerable to the system's true purpose.
Right, because the deception is really just the prerequisite for the stress test. Once the pilot is completely immersed, the simulation drops the hammer.
Just drops a very heavy hammer.
The proposal introduces what it calls stochastic system failures, which frankly sounds like a very polite academic way of saying a randomized engine of absolute chaos.
Yeah, pretty much. Stochastic is the key word there. It means having a random probability distribution or pattern that may be analyzed statistically, but cannot be predicted precisely.
So it's not like the old days.
No. In traditional legacy simulator training, pilots often run through linear emergency checklists. Engine number one fails, the pilot identifies the failure, pulls out the quick reference handbook, and runs the linear engine one failure checklist. It is predictable.
But real-world aviation disasters are rarely linear, are they?
Almost never. The proposal heavily emphasizes that these failures mirror real-world complexity through cascading and correlated events.
Can you walk us through how a stochastic failure actually unfolds compared to a standard linear test? Like, what does a cascade look like?
Sure, let's trace a cascade. In a stochastic environment, the system might quietly introduce a minor hydraulic leak in a landing gear door. The pilot might not even notice it immediately.
Okay, a tiny leak. Doesn't sound too bad.
Right. But because of that leak, a hydraulic pump has to work overtime to maintain system pressure. 10 minutes later, that overworking pump overheats and causes a localized electrical bus failure.
Oh.
That electrical short happens to knock out the primary radio and a backup navigation screen. Now the pilot is flying a degraded aircraft, losing hydraulic pressure, and they suddenly cannot communicate with air traffic control to declare an emergency.
It's a total chain reaction. It's not just one red light blinking on the dashboard. It's a rapidly deteriorating ecosystem.
Exactly.
I have to imagine this absolutely destroys standard communication in the cockpit. They mentioned crew resource management, or CRM, being deeply tested here.
Oh, CRM breaks down instantly in a cascading failure. The captain might get hit with target fixation, staring exclusively at the hydraulic pressure gauge, trying to diagnose the initial problem while ignoring the fact that they're losing altitude.
Well, the first officer is just drowning in secondary alarms.
Yes. The first officer is overwhelmed by the secondary electrical alarm screaming at them. They stop talking to each other. The system is actively attempting to sever the communication between the two pilots by overwhelming their individual processing capacities.
It feels like we are treating the human brain like a computer that is just running out of RAM. The conscious, logical part of the brain, the prefrontal cortex, is trying to process the alarms, the weather, the spatial orientation, and the radio chatter.
And it just hits maximum capacity.
It hits maximum capacity and crashes. And when the logic center crashes, the amygdala, the pure, raw, evolutionary survival instinct, takes the wheel. And the amygdala does not know how to run a complex hydraulic reset checklist.
No, it just knows fight or flight. That transition from prefrontal logic to amygdala-driven panic is exactly what the simulation is trying to map.
Really? They want to map the panic?
Yes. It forces the pilot to experience the physiological rush of terror and then requires them to actively push the amygdala back down, re-engage their logical brain, and prioritize the chaos. First, fly the airplane. Second, navigate. Third, communicate.
But pushing a human being into an amygdala-driven panic sounds wildly dangerous from a psychological standpoint. If this stochastic chaos engine throws a cascading, unwinnable nightmare at them, is there a risk of just breaking the pilot's spirit?
That's a valid concern.
Do we actually improve their operational efficiency, or do we just overwhelm them to the point of trauma?
It is the razor's edge of modern training. The psychological concept at play here is stress inoculation. You expose the subject to a stressor in a controlled way so they build antibodies to the panic.
Like a vaccine for stress.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But to ensure they do not cross the line into trauma, the safety nets described in these documents are more advanced than the simulation itself.
Right. First off, there is a strict, non-negotiable separation of environments. All high-stress or catastrophic events occur exclusively within the simulation module. Real aircraft, even if they are part of a blended exercise, are permanently locked out of unsafe conditions.
So if you walk down that gangway and end up in a real plane, your day will be perfectly normal.
Exactly. And even within the simulator, instructors have automated freeze functions. If a pilot goes into total cognitive lockup, the instructor can literally pause the universe.
But stopping the simulation isn't the real safety net. The true protection and the true value of the entire program lies in the biological data synthesis afterward.
The debriefing data.
Yeah. The data logs we're looking at don't just track how the airplane performed. They extensively track the pilot's physiology.
The biometric tracking is wild. We aren't just talking about a standard heart rate monitor here. The documents detail the use of advanced eye tracking algorithms that monitor microsaccades.
Microsaccades, yeah.
Yeah.
The microscopic, involuntary movements of the eye.
Why do they need to track something that small?
Because elevating the tracking to that level allows instructors to see the invisible failures. And an instructor watching from behind might see a pilot successfully keep the plane level.
Which looks like a pass on the surface.
Right. But the eye tracking data might reveal that the pilot suffered from severe target fixation, staring completely unblinking at a single secondary warning light for 12 seconds.
And entirely missing a critical altimeter drop in their peripheral vision.
Exactly.
It makes me think of an elite athlete reviewing game tape after a championship match. But in this scenario, the coaches aren't just watching the footage of the play.
No, they're seeing the internal game.
Right. They are tracking the athlete's eye movements, their sweat galvanic response, and their heart rate, overlaid directly onto data showing exactly how many millimeters they pulled back on the flight stick and the exact millisecond they reacted to an auditory alarm.
By synthesizing that biometric data with the aircraft's telemetry, instructors provide incredibly precise, undeniable feedback. They can sit down in the debrief and say, look at this exact timestamp.
Your heart rate spiked to 145 beats per minute.
Your breathing became shallow, your eyes stopped tracking the primary flight display, and 2 seconds later, your input on the rudder pedals became erratic. It connects the biological stress response directly to the procedural breakdown.
That is so powerful. You aren't just telling a pilot to stay calm. You are showing them the exact physiological moment their biology began to interfere with their operation of the machine.
And you're training them to recognize that specific internal feeling before it spirals. That microscopic analysis is how you build long-term operational excellence.
You map the human flaw and you train the human to recognize their own failure cascade before it happens in the real world.
Precisely.
Well, let's zoom out and recap this incredible journey through these sources. We are looking at a paradigm shift where the aviation industry uses physical gangway illusions, flawlessly exact visual fidelity with randomized ground patterns and directional shadows to manipulate time perception.
And of course, a stochastic chaos engine to induce literal panic.
Right. All of this monitored by biometric sensors mapping micro movements of the eye. And they are doing all of this to forge an unshakable cognitive resilience in the people flying our planes.
The level of engineering dedicated solely to deceiving the human brain in order to produce absolute truth in human performance is just staggering.
So what does this actually mean for you, the listener, the next time you board a flight?
Hopefully peace of mind.
Yeah. It means that when you hit unexpected, violent turbulence over the Rockies, or your plane suddenly has to abort a landing because of a terrifying weather shift, you can sit back in your seat with a bit more comfort.
Because the person sitting up front behind that locked cockpit door has likely faced a far more complex, flawlessly simulated, cascading nightmare version of this exact scenario.
Complete with fake shadows, randomized distractions, and a pounding heart.
It is deeply reassuring for anyone who flies. But, you know, looking closely at the trajectory of this technology, specifically the incredibly precise biometric monitoring and the sheer volume of data mapping human physiological breakdown, it leaves a lingering question.
Ooh, what kind of question?
Well, if these advanced simulators and their AI-driven chaos engines get mathematically perfect at predicting exactly how, when, and why a human being's prefrontal cortex fails under the pressure of cascading emergencies,
Right.
will there come a day when the aviation industry looks at all that perfect data on human imperfection and decides it is simply safer to let the computer fly the plane itself rather than trying to train the human brain at all?
Wow. When the machine perfectly understands our breaking point, it might just take the controls. That is absolutely something to mull over the next time you are waiting at the boarding gate.